Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, Text 13. Chapter is entitled The Characteristics of King Paranjana. Sa ekada himavato dakshineshvata sanushu sadarshanavabir dvardbi Puram Lakshita Lakshanam. Please repeat. Once while wandering in this way, he saw on the southern side of the Himalayas, in a place named Bharadvarsha, India, a city that had nine gates all about, and was characterized by all auspicious facilities. The tract of land south of the Himalayan mountains is the land of India, which was known as Bharadvarsh. When a living entity takes birth in Bharadvarsh, he is considered to be most fortunate. Indeed, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has stated, Bharata Bhumite Haila Manusha Janmayar Janma Sartak Janma Sarthaka Kari Kara Para Upakar. Thus, whoever takes birth in the land of Bharadvarsh attains all the facilities of life. He may take advantage of all these facilities for both material and spiritual advancement and thus make his life successful. After attaining the goal of life, one may distribute his knowledge and experience all over the world for humanitarian purposes. In other words, one who takes birth in the land of Bharadvarsha by virtue of his past pious activities gets full facility to develop the human form of life. Excuse me. In India, the climatic condition is such that one can live very peacefully without being disturbed by material conditions. Indeed, during the time of Maharaj Yudhishthira and Lord Ramachandra, people were free from all anxieties. There was not even extreme cold or extreme heat. The three kinds of miserable conditions, adhyatma, adhibhautika, and adhidaivika, miseries inflicted by the body and mind itself, those inflicted by other living entities, and natural disturbances were all absent during the reign of Lord Ramachandra or Maharaj Yudhishthira. But at the present time, compared to other countries on earth, India is artificially disturbed. Despite these material disturbances, however, the country's culture is such that one can easily attain the goal of life, namely salvation or liberation from material bondage. Thus, in order to take birth in India, one must have performed many pious activities in a past life. In this verse, the word Lakshita Lakshanam indicates that the human body attained in Bharadvarsha is very auspicious. Vedic culture is full of knowledge, and a person born in India can fully take advantage of Vedic cultural knowledge and the cultural system known as Varnashram Dharma. Even at the present time, as we travel all over the world, we see that in some countries human beings have many material facilities, but no facilities for spiritual advancement. We find everywhere the defects of one-sided facilities and a lack of full facilities. A blind man can walk, but not see. And a layman cannot walk but can see. Under Pangu Nyaya, the blind man may take the layman on over his shoulders, and as he walks, the layman may give him directions. Thus combined they may work, but individually neither the blind man nor the layman can walk successfully. Similarly, this human form of life is meant for the advancement of spiritual life and for keeping the material necessities in order. Especially in the Western countries, there are ample facilities for material comforts, but no one has any idea of spiritual advancement. Many are hankering after spiritual advancement, but many cheaters come, take advantage of their money, bluff them, and go away. Fortunately, the Krishna consciousness movement is there to give all facilities for both material and spiritual advancement. In this way, people in the Western countries may take advantage of this movement. In India, any man in the villages, unaffected by the industrial cities of India, can still live in any condition and make spiritual advancement. The body has been called the city of nine gates, and these nine gates include two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, one mouth, a genital, and a rectum. When the nine gates are clean and working properly, it is to be understood that the body is healthy. In India, these nine gates are kept clean by the villagers who rise early in the morning, bathe in the well or rivers, go to the temples to attend Mangal Aarti, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and take prasad. In this way, one can take advantage of all the facilities of human life. We are gradually introducing this system in different centers in our society, in the Western countries. One who takes advantage of it becomes more and more enlightened in spiritual life. At the present moment, India may be compared to the layman, and in the Western country and the Western countries to the blind man. For the past 2,000 years, India has been subjugated by the rulers of foreigners, and the legs of progress have been broken. In the Western countries, the eyes of the people have become blind due to the dazzling glitter of material opulence. The blind man of the Western countries and the lame man of India should combine together in this Krishna consciousness movement. Then the lame man of India can walk with the help of the Westerner, and the blind Westerner can see with the help of the lame man. In short, the material advancement of the Western countries and the spiritual assets of India should combine for the elevation of human society. Amagina timirantasya ginanjana shalakaya chakshurumilitamena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishnaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namne. Sa ekada himavato dakshine shrata sanushu dadarsha navabhidvarbi puram lakshita lakshanam. Once while wandering in this way, he saw on the southern side of the Himalayas, in a place named Bharadvaj, India, a city that had nine gates all about and was characterized by all auspicious facilities. Does anyone have a watch? Watch? I need to keep an eye on the time. Yeah, but then I have to turn around. Is it the same?
3 minutes.
Okay, 3 minutes fast?
More.
Okay. Sure. Actually, after reading that purport, I feel like I could just ask for questions. It's such a complete... Sometimes Prabhupada's purports are quite short, but this is very, very, very nice, very complete instructions for us. And it's nice we have some Indians here. So, welcome. It's for you, especially for you today. It's not a chosen verse, it just happens to be there. So here we are in the Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth canto. And last chapter we were hearing from Lord Shiva. He was preaching to the sons of Prachina Barhishat. And now Narad is preaching to Barhishat himself. So that's nice. When Narada Muni arrives, King Barhishat is engaged in performing sacrifices. He's a king, he's doing his kingly duties. But when he sees Narada Muni, he becomes a little inspired in spiritual life and remembers the goal of life. And he asks Narada Muni to preach to him, actually, about what is the goal of life. Can everyone hear me? Is it okay? Is it a little soft or too fast? Okay. I had this feeling. So this is the scene. This is the scene set. And it's very interesting because Narada Muni doesn't choose to preach to the king directly. He doesn't, because even though the king asks, he doesn't say, okay, so you're doing something wrong and you should worship Krishna. He doesn't do that. Instead, he tells a story. So this story here, that we're hearing in this verse, is about Puranjana. Actually, Puranjana means every man. So it means everybody, every person, every human, every being. So this is actually a story not just meant for Barhisha, but it's meant for anyone who's willing to hear it. So Narada Muni tells this story about this king, this materialistic person who's wandering around, looking for happiness, and then as he's wandering, he finds a city, and he thinks, "Oh, now I can enjoy because here's some facility for me." If you're just in the countryside, there's nothing to do. There's no houses. There's no food. There's no people. So he comes to the city. He comes to a place with habitation. And he thinks, oh, this is very nice. This is a good place. But it's allegorical. It's not literal. So Paranjana isn't, in a sense, a real person. He's anybody who's in the material world. And the city isn't a real city. It's actually the body, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport. There's this body with 9 gates. It's interesting. Most of the gates are in your head. Right? There's the 9 gates, there's only 2 that are elsewhere, but most of the gates are here. This is the control center of the body. So it has the ears, the eyes, nose, tongue, mouth. So this is where we get our information. It's kind of up here. So Narada Muni is telling this story, and it's mentioned also in the Bhagavad Gita about, in the 5th chapter, about this body with 9 gates. And if one, I've got the verse here, it says, when the embodied living being controls his nature and mentally renounces all actions, he resides happily in the city of 9 gates, the material body, neither working nor causing work to be done. So Narada Muni is explaining to King Barhishad that even though he's in the body, he can still practice Krishna consciousness, that he can still be liberated and be happy. And it's interesting, when Prabhupada talks about this, he often mentions happiness. This is actually what we're interested in, right? Would anyone be in the Hare Krishna movement if we said you're here to be miserable? You know, we want you to be here and to be unhappy, and that's the goal. And all the kirtans and everything, that's just to infuse this feeling of suffering. I mean, how many people would be attracted? I wouldn't be here. And it's not just because we're sense enjoyers that we're interested in happiness. It's actually the natural condition of the soul. Everybody wants to be happy, but that's because it's our nature. It's not our nature to be miserable. It's our nature happy. Satchitananda vigraha. So we're meant to be happy. We are happy. We just have to find it. And actually, it's a matter of desire. Prabhupada mentions in the purport that the difference between happiness and distress is actually a matter of desire. It's not what other people do to us. It's not the conditions that we live in. It's whether we want to be happy or not. I think there was a president or something, Jefferson. I can't remember. There's one of the presidents of the United States. He said, most people are as happy as they make up their minds to be. He was a Christian, so he also understood this point. So it's not to do with whether you're the president or a what do they call a bin man. You know, you're a collector of garbage. Anyone can be happy. If you go to India, you see in the villages, people are happy and they have nothing. At least they have very simple, to our perception, they have nothing, isn't it? Very simple, very, very simple life. But when you look at their faces, they look very happy. They're always smiling and laughing. And if you go walk around on the streets in the West, you don't see that. Not this effulgence, especially not in the beggars. You don't see the beggars all like bright and happy, and they've got somewhere to live. Actually, a lot of the street people, they have somewhere to live, isn't it? They're given a hostel. But if when they go out on the street, they look miserable. But in India, it's not like that. Because they have a higher understanding of life. And Prabhupada talks about this. He goes into some detail in the purport about the glories of India. It's a glorious place, wonderful place. That even though there are so many difficulties, and even though, there's no difficulties here, right? But in India, you can see it. It's in India, it's on the street. They have birth, death, old age, and disease on the street. So if you want to see what's going on in life, here they hide it. And if you want to see birth, you have to go to the hospital, or even they won't let you in. You can't just go and look at people dying. In India, you can, but not here. But even though they're suffering like us in the West, they have spiritual culture. It's a remnant, though. Prabhupada also talks about that. It's a remnant of spiritual culture. But many people, they know Ramayana, they know Mahabharat. They know they're not their body. They know there's a God. And this makes them happy. They know, okay, so I'm not so well invested in this life, but in the next life, if I'm good, if I follow the scriptures, then maybe I get a better situation. Unfortunately, we see that a lot of Indians, they try and copy Western people, and this is a great shame. It's really a pity. One time I went to India and they asked me to give a little talk to some university students. These are bright people, and they're in university because they're very bright. In India, there's a lot of competition to get into university. So I was talking to these university students, and I was telling them, please, please don't try and do what we're doing in the West, because in the West, they're crazy. Right? Anyway, this is a preseed version of, you know, Western civilization. So they're crazy. We're crazy. There's so many studies now of mental disease. It's not just a phrase. It's true. I'm a therapist. So and I work mostly with devotees. So when I'm crazy, that's why I became a therapist. So I'm working on myself first. So, you know, when we join the Hare Krishna movement, Hare Krishna. Western people, and it's often because we're suffering. We've been through the mill. I was a university student, and my parents are rich, at least by Indian standards. They have anything, you know, they have a house, everything. That's another story. They're not happy. And so I was trying to convince these people that material happiness that we do doesn't make you happy. We need some material facility. We were hearing yesterday about sense gratification, and Mahaprabhu was talking very nicely about that. Prabhupada, actually, somebody said somewhere, what about sense gratification? What do we do about it? Because it's everywhere. Even if you eat prasadam, you have your lunch. How do you avoid, you know, sense gratification? Prabhupada said it's like salt. So if you're eating a meal and there's no salt, it's not very nice. So you put a little salt. So sense gratification, he said, is like salt, but not too much. If you add too much salt to your meal, it's horrible. You can't eat it. If it doesn't have salt, you can eat it. But if it has too much salt, you can't eat it. So too much sense gratification, like we have here in the material life, life becomes unpalatable. It becomes actually unpleasant. And it's sort of like, and that's why there's so many crazy people, and many, many people wanting to kill themselves. You have suicide rates and high suicide rate. And this is what happens in material life. Somebody just, it's like hedonism. I've met a few hedonists in my time, and they're trying to enjoy their senses, and they think that the more they engage their senses, then the more that they'll actually find happiness. I was going to say Osho, but that wasn't his idea. Was you burn out the senses and then you get into self-realization. So they were trying to do that, but in a slightly different way. But the West, people are not happy. And but India, and but Prabhupada points out that the India is lame. So in the West, we have material facilities, we have money. You have so much money, you don't even know what to do with it, right? Mahaprabhu was also talking yesterday about people. The reason that they have industries that people don't need is because people have money they don't need. And they want to do something with it. They think, well, I have all this money. I want to spend it on something, you know. I want to use it for something. So, but if that money, instead of being spent for useless things, was spent on something useful like spiritual realization, then that would bring the balance. And what's the nice thing in the purport? Prabhupada doesn't just say sense gratification, material life is rubbish and it's useless. He says no. You should use it. And then we have this balance between the two things. So we take the spiritual culture of India, and we take the material facility of the West. You put them together, and you have the Hare Krishna movement. That's what Prabhupada, if I looked it up, that's what Prabhupada talks about. He says, American boys and girls, he was in India, they're trying to make money, they're too busy trying to pay the bills. So he went to America, and they were already paying the bills, but they were desperate for something, some happiness, right? So they found Prabhupada, and it must have been an amazing thing, you find Prabhupada in the middle of New York City in the Bowery. This transcendental personality, you're, you know, high on all kinds of crazy things, and then Prabhupada turns up. So Prabhupada would encourage, and he was very, very grateful to his Western followers. He said, "Boys and girls are so nice. You know, I had nothing. Here, right in India, in America, with nothing." And he, after 12 years, he had over 100 temples. He was a rich man. Actually, Prabhupada had this idea, I'll become rich in my material life and then I'll preach Krishna consciousness. But it didn't work out like that. But it wasn't his chart. Right? It wasn't his... Krishna wanted that, but it was in a different way. So Prabhupada came to the West, and the American boys and girls, they helped him, gave him all material facilities, at least after some time. You know the story better than I do, so... Vishaka, did you? And then we have ISKCON, which is a wonderful thing. And all over the world, you can go to any place in the world and find a temple. Practically, in some places they have to hide a little bit, like in China. They don't. They're there as just devotees. They just practice by themselves. But in Western countries, almost every country of the world, if you go and find Prabhupada's books, they're translated in so many different languages. I'm not sure how many, but it's over 60 languages. Prabhupada's, at least something from Prabhupada is translated. So this is very nice, this combination of material facility and spiritual culture. You put them together, everyone will be happy. Prabhupada said later, Krishna's not just for India. Actually, there's this problem in India, they don't want to convert people, right? There's this Hindu idea, you don't convert, right? Christians, they have a different idea, they want to convert people. There's a big fight going on there. But if Hinduism wasn't into conversion, then 90% of us wouldn't be sitting here, isn't it? We wouldn't be here. So Prabhupada didn't have this idea that Krishna isn't just for Hindus, it's not just for the Hindus, it's not even for just certain kind of Hindu, it's for every being on the planet, including the animals. We should feed the animals prasadam, and the tree and the plants prasadam, so they can also benefit. And this will make us happy. Prabhupada said a very, very nice thing. He said, if you accept Krishna as your friend, you'll be happy. So it's such a simple thing, huh? It's such a simple thing. People get so complicated about spiritual life and, you know. But it's such a simple thing. Chant Hare Krishna, take prasad and be happy. There's this, but Western people are a little complicated. It's a problem. Actually, people in general are a bit complicated. And there was this little cartoon. It said there were two people sitting together. There was two old people. And the wife was saying to the husband, chant, chant, chant. And he said, can't. All he has to do is add an H, you know? Instead of a can't, a chant. But, people are funny. And we experience this. It's odd that people become devotees. Because when we talk to people who are not devotees, they're not so keen. Right? You tell your mother to chant Hare Krishna and see what happens. Right? So it's amazing, actually. People won't even take something simple. I think I went over time. I better round up. So this is a very nice... This actually goes on for three chapters of the Bhagavatam, the story of King Puranjana. It's very interesting. And it shows the importance of the subject of how we are living in the body. What all the different... It talks about... There's nine gates. So it talks about the gates. It talks about the different things in the body. And I don't exactly remember, there's a lady that turns up at some point with a big snake, which is quite interesting. and she has followers, and they all represent something. And so Narada Muni tells this whole story to Barhishat, and explains to him how he can give up his fruitary activities and go back to Godhead. It's a very nice story, so I hope you all enjoy it. Let's continue. I don't know how many, it's over 100 verses. So a verse a day, that's 3 months. So we're going to be doing this for a while. Three, 4 months. Should be nice. It's been next one. So until the springtime, we're going to be hearing about Puranjana, every man. Okay, thank you very much. I better stop there. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Corrections. Last time I had a correction, it was very good. Someone asked me for a reference for a quote, and I didn't know. So it's always good to tidying up. Oh. Thank you. Thank you. Oh. Oh, Hare Krishna. Did everyone hear that? Sure. No. Matiji was just saying it's not copying the West, but what we copy. But we're going the other way, you know. So we're trying to copy India. Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah, it's true. It's what we copy, or what people copy. It's also true of India. It's what do people copy of India? Oh, it's natural. Yeah. I think dressing is the least of the problems. It's the meat eating and intoxication and watching strange movies and, you know, just other things that are more difficult. Yeah, and even though Prabhupada says in the purport that India is such a wonderful place, you have to be careful. Not everything in India is spiritual. Anyone who's been there will know. Srila Lakshmi Muni, one time she made this funny comment. She says the first 12 feet of India she doesn't like. She means up, you know. After that it's great. So India is a little chaotic. It's chaotic and there's some funny things going on there. You'll know better because where are you from? Bangalore. Okay, that's in south, right? Yeah. The north is more chaotic. The south is better. Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't as disturbed. Prabhupada also made, I'm always embarrassed when they talk about India because I'm English and I think, oh God, you know, it's the English that made a big, Muslims started it and then the English finished it off. So it's an embarrassment. Anyway, I'm doing my bit, right? Trying to bring some honor back to the English race by appreciating India. Yeah, thank you. Did you?
I was last week I was in India and I had this realization also about the rest of the rest. Because the idea of Prabhupada was that most of the rest, the links, the devotees, the rest, and the Indians were foreign. I was in my home and I was looking at the local people. Mm-hmm.
In Bengal. Yeah, they got some. The thing is about the British, they actually undermined the Vedic culture. They said this is, I mean, I don't even want to use the language that they used. It was really bad. You know, they were, I mean, English are supposed to be quite polite people, but, you know, the way they talked about India was rude, frankly. I mean, it was for a reason. They thought they can't control India. The reason was it wasn't that they didn't appreciate it, it was because they couldn't control India if they allowed Vedic culture to stay, because it's very strong. But now I was just from your point that now when Indians see Western people practicing Krishna consciousness, it encourages them. They think, oh, it's okay, you know, it's okay to be a Hindu, it's okay to worship Krishna. It's not like we're backward, Aborigines or something, you know. Anyway, that's another word, but you know, it's not like we're backward. And I shouldn't say Aborigines are backward because I'll get in trouble. especially if this goes in, if English people hear this, I'll get in trouble. But yes, and they become encouraged. But they're even better than us. When you guys become devotees, unstoppable, because it's part of the Indian nature. It's just in their bodies. When they do it, they're amazing. One time, I was in India, and this little Mataji came. I mean, she was up to here on me, right? She was very small, and she came. And she just like, you know, it was in Mayapur, in the temple room, and she just went like that. And just put her arms around my waist and her head on my. Just goes, I don't know what she was saying. She was talking in Bengali, but it was something about Lord Nityananda. I don't know what it. But she was just so happy. I don't know why, but she just saw this big white Western girl, and she thought she's a Hare Krishna. She's worshiping Gaudiya, and it just made her so happy. She was crying. I was just like, okay, yeah, good. So I do. You know, I said, you don't know me, but anyway, I'm trying. So they really appreciate when they see white people. It gives them so much inspiration. It's very, very nice. And that's why it's good to travel. And I mean, it's good to travel in devotee clothes anywhere. But when we're in India, wearing devotee clothes, it's very, very good. There's something over here, but Sudevi? No? Oh, good, okay. Okay. Thank you, Tanya Kiki.
Yeah.
Good. Jai. Yeah, then we can practice what we hear. We can play a being Narada Muni. You can go and talk to the. Actually, this is like Murgari the hunter who was talking. Barhishad. Yeah. Had been killing animals like Murgari. I mean, not the same, but you can go and talk to them. Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki.